Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I still believe, even though we have widespread things going on and around, doesn't sound like there's anything. We have a lot of good Christian people who are wanting to see God's name be glorified. And as long as we have that, my friends, I think we are blessed people. Our lesson today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Do you ever lose heart? I mean, do you ever get discouraged? Maybe are you discouraged about what's going on now? Go ahead and put that scripture up there for us. Wayne, thank you. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner person, our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I know that you know this passage. I want to remind you about it today. Each Lord's Day, and I don't mind it at all, a preacher gets down here and he preaches a sermon. He's up here by himself. He kind of runs the show, but I felt like I needed help today. So, I have me a volunteer, I think. Roger, come down here, my friend. And I want you to know that David and I were not in the cahoots about what was going on, about him making you speak up. When I grew up, it was really rather a usual situation. Just come in and set yourself down, my friend. He looks good, doesn't he? He looks good, doesn't he? Oh, okay. All right. I was just making sure. They were a little waving on that thing. When I was growing up, it was rather common for the preacher to have a reader. And I want you to know that that was not necessarily associated with any particular race. You could go into lots of places, or shall I say even faiths, if that's a good way of saying it. Preachers had people in the auditorium or in the place to help them with scriptures. And I've talked a little bit here to Roger, and he's going to help me out today with some of the things we say. In fact, let's just make it a practice right now. Roger, get on. Roger's going to read 2 Corinthians. You want to stand up, Roger? Roger's going to read to you, and we're going to put our scripture up again. And he's going to read it so you can repeat it. Because when you leave today, I want you to know this passage of scripture. By the time we get done with this, I think we will. Go ahead, Roger. Tell him. Use the microphone if you want. Oh, that was pitiful. Not on your part, Roger. We could just bear. You can do better than that. Go ahead. Do it again. Start over. What am I talking about? Go.
But though our outer man
inner man is being renewed. Good.
Momentary life of
That's what we're talking about. In
while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Thank you, Roger. Just have a seat and be comfortable until I call on you again. A friend of mine said to me, because he knew that I was influenced by a man by the name of S.H. Hall, who was a preacher, Jim, for 65 years in the pulpit. Born down in Smyrna, Tennessee, just a few miles away from where my grandfather was born. So he was a well-known preacher during those days. When I knew him, he was a very old man. But he had me in one of his gospel meetings out in California do what Roger is doing for him. I was so nervous. My knees were knocking. It was a big deal. But he wanted me to be his reader. So I did the best I could. Congregation repeated. That's what they did in those days. Brother S.H. Hall was a fantastic preacher. But a friend of mine sent me a letter that Brother S.H. Hall wrote about a year before his death. He died when he was 83 years old. I read that article and pored over several different things. And there was one point in there that I thought was a very important point for us right now. I know the Lord blessed me by that letter coming my way and getting to read that. He was officially, on paper, retiring from preaching after 65 years in the pulpit. And he was reflecting upon his earlier days as he began preaching. And he mentions in his article several, or numerous, if you will, preachers that he knew growing up, Bob, in his early days, that had left the ministry and were no longer preaching. That struck a chord with me because in my homiletics or preaching class, when I was in college, I know it doesn't show, but I did go, I'm the only one left preaching. It's not because I'm the only one alive. I'm the only one that is preaching in the ministry. Some chose, he said, to drop out, and others were forced out. Some exited earlier and some lasted longer in their work that they were doing, but they still didn't make it to the end of life, what they had probably intended. He said he often wondered that he too destined to fall out. Is there anybody sitting in the auditorium this morning that hasn't at one time or another, if you're being honest with yourself, have questioned whether or not you're going to make it to the end of life in the service of the Lord? Sometimes it can get difficult. There are lots of things that we struggle with. Will we make it to the right time for the Lord? He compared it as a war, when an army enters the battle with a significant charge and appears to be winning at first, and as the battle ensues, it begins to falter. And in the end, the army is decimated or defeated. The cause is lost. Probably every one of us has seen that happen in the congregations that they've known or you've been attending. I use a little quick sports analogy. It's like when we get to rooting for the Cowboys and they start off real good and then something happens and they don't make it. They're not successful. Winds up being a disaster. These images sort of serve, I think, as examples for us even today in our own personal lives. We need to understand that we are in a war. We are in a spiritual war every day. Time out. Let's take a little time out. Put up our next scripture there. Over in the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing, he says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Write this scripture down. You need to know this one too. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, stand firm. One of our biggest mistakes, brethren, one of our biggest mistakes is our failure to remember who we're fighting. Now listen to me. Battles in life distract us and we forget that we are not here to fight against one another. We're not here to war with each other or the rest of mankind. As much as at any time, we must not forget that we are fighting a spiritual campaign. It's not a physical, fleshly campaign. It's a spiritual one. And whether you're a preacher or an elder or just people of God, that's who we all are. Whatever our designations in the kingdom are, we are not at war with each other. We're not at war with any of the people here on earth. Our enemy is Satan. He is cunning. He is deceitful. He is world wise. And if he can get us to lose our focus, he wins. And he wins a few battles. My beloved brethren, let's keep our hearts in the real war and away from what the enemy is throwing in our path. Okay, timeout is over. Roger? Last forever. Things that are not seen are eternal. As the people of God, as a preacher, as God's servant, I realize that there will be seasons that it feels like we are losing. Maybe today we think that's happening big time. We're looking around our country. But there's a lot of things that can cause that. Like a health crisis. We have people in our congregation who are battling their health. And that's a discouragement to them. We need to remember that. That they need to be lifted up. Especially in a time when you can't even visit them. When they're in the hospital or whatever. But you can still call them. And you can still write them a note and let them know that you're thinking about them, because they need to be lifted up. It can sideline a really good person, bring about a period of unrest in their own spiritual life. And when you think about the unrest in our country and our community, it all takes us away from our mission. And as brothers and sisters, we're not here to fight each other. We are here to support one another. We may watch someone that we love more than anyone in life slip off into eternity, even though it's the goal that we're all striving for. Maybe it's a family member in your family or my family that disappoints us. Or other people, other kinds of leaders, other church leaders in some other place that disappoint us. But in the body of Christ, people may drop out. Some may falter. Some may fall. Even you might suffer temporary harm, which can feel devastating. I want to remind you what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Did you hear that? It's not in vain. That's why we remain steadfast. When the rubber meets the road, that's what we say it here on the earth, our view of life and our view of eternity, along with the choices that we make, are going to determine whether we are victorious ultimately. You see, we can lose a political battle. You can lose your job. You might lose your health. You might lose your career or the things that you possess, like your houses, incomes. But you can still be a winner if you're in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we don't want to forget that. We can see that faithful men become distracted. We can see that family members fall. And we can watch people that we love who pass away. And yet we can still be winners. We can be mistreated by church folks and misjudged by the world and maligned by people all around us and still be winners. We can watch the nation fall. We can see our people be treated unfairly. We even see the church that we love torn apart, and we can still be winners. We can go through the seasons of depression, dejection, discord, and division, disagreement, division, and dread, and yet still be readers. Winners. Reader. Confused him, I'm sorry. You're up.
Yeah.
Hey, don't die out. Now, come on, stay steadfast. There you go. Thank you, Roger. You're doing great. Now listen, I know you know it's true. Life isn't fair. It's not fair that you have to go through divorce that you don't want. It's not fair for a young mother to be sick and not be able to take care of her children. It's unfair when a young person loses their job at no fault of his own. It's unfair to see your child or your grandchild come down with an illness and struggle mightily. It's devastatingly not fair to have to bury your child when you've had so many hopes and dreams for that child. It seems unfair to lose your spouse when you're getting ready to slow down and enjoy your retirement years. It's not fair to learn that your family is looked down upon because of its race or nationality or its social standing. It's not fair that you are afraid to send your child out into the world because they might be treated in an ungodly way. It's not fair to have your business destroyed because someone's angry or wants to make a point. It's not fair to be hated because of the type of work you've chosen to spend your life doing. And it's unfair to be accused of hatred because of your race, nationality, social standing. Life just isn't fair. Now, that doesn't mean anything mentioned here is right. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to like these situations. Here's the thing that we can be 100% certain of. God is fair. God is always fair. And one day, He will make everything right. And when that day comes, we will respond to life by going in the right direction toward deciding about being victorious. One other thought about life not being fair. God's people, are you listening? God's people need to always be fair. Always, always be fair. Because we want to make His name great among the nations. Isn't that right? He didn't sound very convincing to me. Isn't it right that that's what we're supposed to be? Is to be like Him and be fair? That's the kind of people we're supposed to be. Now unto Him who was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What a great thing to understand, and I hope to be encouraged by. Roger, you're up. Thank you, Roger. You can leave that scripture up there, if you would, for me, Wayne. Now here's the gospel. I want you to respond to me. What does the word gospel mean? Good news. You and me, we possess good news for our brethren, for our community, for our nation. As Bob has already told us when we were in the midst of remembering the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, that's precisely what we're about and we should be about. I know they're talking about all kinds of conspiracy theories, but let me tell you that Satan will do anything to keep us from preaching the gospel. And that's what he does. And we're not going to let him do it, are we? We're going to preach the gospel of Christ because we have good news. If we are on the Lord's team, we are winners. And this is not down in the future. The truth from the scripture is that we have already won because our King is victorious. We win because of that. Even when it appears from the physical, national, or human standpoint that the battle is lost, the kingdom always wins. Because our King has already won the victory. Victory is not assured because of our power or what we do, our might, our intelligence, our wisdom, our ingenuity. No, none of those things. We win because of Him. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. If you're in Christ today, you're a winner. The only thing keeping you from being a winner is being in Christ. You need to come. You need to repent of your sin. You need to name Jesus as the Son of the living God. You need to put Him on in baptism and have the waters of baptism to wash away your sin and for you to be able to walk in a newness of life. Brethren, the things that are not seen are the things that are important. I want to bid you a great day today and to leave here with a smile that even though things have changed, even though things are different around us, nothing is different, as David said, about the Lord. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we are winners because of Him, because He is our King.